Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Cenacle series. And today we have the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy with us and with all of us. And we're so, so blessed to have them with us. I see that we've got the two locations. Let me see if I can bring them in first, and then we'll open with a prayer. I see it's the Gemma's. PC doesn't have a camera. I think I saw the San Marino sisters. Let me just double check. Okay, there's San Marino. Hello, Sister Scholastica. Since you're the only top of the habit I can see.
Hi. Yeah, well, actually, Benedict is here. I'm just turning around the camera.
Okay, that's fine.
Or never
are we
mind.
Gonna have the, are we going to have the other house on also, or is it just San Marino?
No, no, no. I was told that we're available. The Europeans are available for today.
Okay. Well, let me just double check. We don't want to exclude anyone, at least not intentionally. Okay, there's Sister Gemma. Okay, see, and Sister Teresa. I'm going to ask them to unmute, if I may. Sister Teresa, I just need you to unmute yourself, please, Sister Gemma.
Can you hear us?
Yes, now. Terrific.
Oh, perfect.
Wonderful. Hey. Okay, so yeah. Let me bring up you, and now let me bring up San Marino so we can have, as they say, the gang all here. I just happened to lose them. One of these days, I actually will, I think, know what I'm doing. It's sometime distant, I think, in the future, but it's coming. Okay, there's San Marino. I'm going to add them to the pin. Okay, we've got both on there now. Great. Well, sisters, thank you for joining today, taking time out of your busy, busy day. And there's not going to be many of us today, and that's great. We can sort of let our hair down, as they say, or for you all, let your habits down and just relax a little bit. But I thought, you know, we usually use a supplication to open our cenacles, and we usually use the same one from the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. I was thinking about today using the Magnificat, and I was wondering, do any of you want to pray it, or do you want me to do it from this side?
We'd love to hear you do it, Peter. You're running the show here.
Oh, I'm running zero. If I was running the show, there'd be no show. Trust me, Sister Scholastica. I'm way out of my league. Way, way, way out of my league. Okay, so we'll do that then. We'll begin with the Magnificat, and we'll do it in the form of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This comes from Luke 1, 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of the Almighty servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength in God's arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise of God that God made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, you know, sisters, I never really fully realized to the extent I do now, the power that is in the Magnificat. I mean, I always knew it was nice, it was beautiful, it was holy. I didn't recognize the power. And I started to feel that it was empowered, but then I started to do some research. And remember growing up, there was this phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Remember that? Names meaning that words can't really hurt me. You can say what you want about me. But the interesting thing about the Magnificat is people see, especially those who are perhaps far from God, see and they understand the power of this. And let me just give you a couple of instances here. In the early 1980s, the government of Guatemala recognized the subversive nature of Mary's song, the Magnificat, and the government found that Mary's proclamation that, quote, God is specially concerned for the poor, to be dangerous and revolutionary, and it was banned from any public recitation. Also, I didn't know that. Also, in the early 80s was a terrible time. That's probably the same time I went to school. India, under British rule, the Magnificat was banned from being sung or read anywhere, including in the church, the Catholic Church. So the good news is that it's not just us that recognize the power here. Even the bad guys do. Sometimes the bad guys, you know, can give you a really good inclination. Like for example, those who defecate and decimate the Holy Eucharist. I mean, they do horrible things to it. But they truly believe that they're doing this to Jesus. In fact, to a certain extent, I hate to say this, but to a certain extent, perhaps their faith of who that is greater than ours, because they truly think that they're doing damage to our blessed Lord, not just to a wafer, or not just to a cracker or something, whatever else it's referred to by those non-believing in it. So again, the Magnificat, very powerful. So if this is so powerful, what about the divine will? What about every word in the divine will? I mean, this is it. This is majesty. This is God bringing, again, heaven to earth, the fulfillment of the Our Father. Anywhere you want to start, sisters. I mean, I'm in ecstasy just thinking about that. And I'm so in love with Our Lady. That song now just brings me to a whole different level. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Yeah. Well, I mean, going back to what...
Continue.
Okay, I was going to say, well, going back to what you were saying, Peter, there is power through words. Lots of times, yes, you have to have the intention, you have to mean something when you say a word. But on the other hand, there is power through words, if you think about it. Like, imagine the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. So you see, like, even in that, you know, like, that's how St. John was inspired to begin. He said that in the beginning was the Word. So yes, there is power through words. And it's true what you were saying. It's amazing. You're right. It is, in a way, embarrassing and shameful, but lots of times you can see how, you know, non-believers, like, they can see that, you know, that there might be some truth into what we say about the Eucharist, you know, that being truly God. And imagine our complete opposites, meaning the Satanists. Of course, they're more aware of it, because you see, for them, it's necessary. They know, like, for them to truly practice, you know, the satanic arts, if you will. I don't know if that's the correct term, but for them to really, they have to truly believe that that is God. God is their enemy. He must be desecrated. He must be, in some way, they need to cause him pain or something to worship their Lord and Master. So, you know, on one hand, you're right. It's like, in some aspects, lots of times, it's not us, the Catholics or the Christians, that really do believe that is God. Many times, I don't want to say the word our enemies, because nobody, but if you think about it, though, but those who follow our enemy, the ancient one, the ancient right. enemy, right. you know, in a way, yes, that gives us some perspective that we have to realize, well, am I really being a Christian? Am I really being a Catholic out of tradition? Am I just going through the motions? Or is there something to my words when I pray? Is there something going on in my mind, heart, and soul, and body when I say words, when I pray words? Or do I truly believe? Like, am I willing to die for it? Like, am I willing not to betray the Lord, like St. Peter did? He was afraid, and so he betrayed him 3 times. So I think that's a very interesting point, how you just started off today is with that. I mean, that's what I was getting. And you're right, you know, through the Magnificat, but not just the Magnificat, like other things, if you think about it, even the exorcism prayers, you know, if you like listen to the translation of what they're saying, it's like, wow, like you're blown away. But even the beauty of prayers and of liturgy and even of sacred hymns in the church, how beautiful the language is. I know from my personal experience, when we did Gemma, Benedict and I, we did our final vows back in 2017. So that was 6 years ago now. And I remember part of the ceremony, which was during the mass, I was absolutely blown away with some of the prayers and things that had to be said during the ceremony to actually make this happen. I remember being in awe, like, oh my gosh, like this is something serious. This is something truly big, what we're doing, just listening to the words. Like, so anyway, yeah, that's what came to mind to me in terms of a personal experience when it comes to the significance of words, especially words of prayer, of praise, of praying from the heart, and seeing when you pray from the heart, how God really does give you results. Like you get answers, whether or not your request that you were praying for is granted. But at the same time, you're in awe, though, of getting your answer from the Lord.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. Yeah, I mean, the words themselves are not dangerous, but I guess the advocate behind those words, well, depending on what side you're on, is the thrust of the power that's being sort of funneled through those words, if that makes any sense. My mind's working a couple different directions. I don't speak very well. That's why the sisters that speak the English second language, they sometimes are much more, in fact, most times are much more articulate than I am. And I give them a lot of credit for that. I'm not putting myself down. I'm actually elevating their exercise in that. But, you know, it's so interesting, too, about, you know, we talk about the divine will. We talk about the power of it. And I don't know if you got a chance to, but Father Celso had a Divine Will Day of Recollection yesterday. It was really powerful. I mean, his delivery is predictable. It's always great. It's just so constant. But the material that was used was just extraordinary. And I don't know where it is right now, but I'd like to read some passages when we get to it. But I want to throw it back to San Marino. Sister Teresa was going to say something, but we'll just keep it open. And I think there's no format because I don't particularly care for formats. So I'll try to be as quiet as I can, but just blurt it out. And I expect us to speak over each other at times. So that's just normal. Well, wouldn't you agree, Sister Elizabeth?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're
right.
I agree.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Or no.
You concur.
She concurs, right?
I was thinking about also the Magnificat. In one sense, is connected with my meditation because the Magnificat is the exaltation of Our Lady in the Holy Spirit, because she was the Holy Spirit is... Immaculate Conception. Our Lady is the Immaculate Conception of the Holy Spirit. Is the she make able God to be conceived in a creature? So she was fulfilled with the Holy Spirit. She know God. Her knowledge of God was totally in the Holy Spirit. Yes, for sure she. She read the scripture when she was educated in the Holy Temple, but with the divine will, we already know that she has an internal knowledge of God, and especially the experience of God through the Holy Spirit, because of infused science. Because this is the gift. One of the in the writings we can read also that one of the first gift that Adam lost after the original sin, and he had many gifts, the immortality and the other things. Now I don't remember, but infused science also, and we can. Receive back like first gift the infused science first. And so it's so important to realize that in a Magnificat Our Lady and the Holy Spirit through her speak to us how to be every time grateful to God and how to be educated in the hope, but it's not a human hope, but is the divine hope. Is a divine hope is a in a one sense is a bridge between the life of grace on the earth and the glorified our life glorified in the heavens. Because hope, sorry, only one moment. Okay, sorry. And Our Lady, so she was totally fulfilled with the Holy Spirit, and through the Magnificat, in one sense, is also the expression of her knowledge of the divine will in code, because she was not able, she had not the mission from God to give us the revelation. This is the mission of Luisa. She had all this knowledge inside of her, but she spoke in code with the Magnificat. And I like the words, all the words are Magnificat, but I like the words, all generation will call me blessed. In these words, look from afar the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because not only the person who know God, who had the gift to be called Christian, will call her blessed, but also the people that now they don't know God. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit and through our prayers, penitence, since many years, Our Lady called us, all her children, to pray, fasting, and to have penance. Because of this reason, because through our act, especially this act in the divine will, we can allow through the Holy Spirit to touch the souls that now they don't know God. And so through us, Our Lady, she will call be blessed. And so I try to connect this with my meditation. I start from volume 33, December 10, 1933. It's the day of today. I try to... We were speaking about knowledge, and Luisa say, I am always the tiny little ignorant one of the Supreme Being. And she was living in the divine will, what the distance between us and her, but we have to have hope, because through this passage we know how to overcome our ignorance. Then, while going around in the works of the divine fiat, I paused at the Eden, in which I made present to myself the creation of man, I told to myself, what could be the first word that Adam spoke when he was created by God? And my highest good, Jesus, visiting me with his short little visit, all goodness, he told me, my daughter, I too feel the need to tell you what the first word was pronounced by the lips of the first creature created by us. You must know that as soon as Adam felt life, motion, and reason within himself, he saw his God before him and comprehended that he had formed him. So this is the language of knowledge, the comprehensions, because of the experience of God. He has the infused knowledge. So he was in front of God and he comprehended that he had formed him. So the first thing he realized that God is his creator. And one of the most important things that the world has forgotten today, that God is our creator. We want to decide what is our sex with the gender. We want to decide to give life or not to the unborn. All these problems that we already know, and we spoke about them many times. But the first thing is to realize God is our creator, and he created us for love. He felt within himself in his whole being, still fresh, the impressions, the touch of his creative hands, and grateful in a surge of love, he pronounced his first word, "I love you, my God, my Father, the author of this, my life." But it was not only the word, but the breath, the heartbeat, the drops of his blood that flowed inside his veins, the motion, the whole of his being united together, repeated as though in chorus, "I love you, I love you, I love you." So the first things that he realized that God was his father, his creator, but he realized he had the experience in all his body, in all his person, that he was loved. In fact, he says, so the first lesson that he learned from his creator was that he felt himself loved and that he loved. This is so simple. But in the book of Our Lady, we know that the relation between Our Lady and God was she received love and she gave back love, and was a continuous returning back this love. And this is the life of the Holy Trinity inside, for what we know. This is always a mystery. But the Father loves the Son, and in this relation is the Holy Spirit, and it touch also us. So this knowledge was not a knowledge from the books, but was the knowledge from the relation of love between God and his creature. So how much important is to realize that we can receive this knowledge from the Bible, from the book of heaven, in prayer, in the life of the Holy Spirit, is all together, the life of sacrament, in prayer, in all that Our Lady called us to do, fasting, penance, enjoy, not in a sad way. And she continues, so our divinity felt wounded, hearing, "I love you, I love you." It was our own love created by us in the creature that was saying to us, "I love you." So we realized that was not able Adam to say this word, but was the life, he already has the life of God inside of him. How? So in one sense, I don't know if he's correctly, I think in one sense, yes, he was Immaculate Conception also is, because there was not sin at that point. But there is a big difference between Adam and all his descendants and Our Lady, because Our Lady was not touched from the sin, but also she had to pass a test, we know from the book of Our Lady. Adam felt with the test, and also the resurrection, because Our Lady win the test, so she have the confirmation of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and Adam, he didn't, so he lost the divine will, the life of the divine will. And there is another passage, there is the resurrection, because Our Lady, she didn't die, and she's present in the heavens with her glorious her body. And we are not at that point, but we are called to reach that point. So we grow in faith, and this knowledge allowed us to grow in faith more and more every time. Why? Because of the love, because of love, not because we are able to understand. Because if we have the relation in love with God, he can enrich us every time we do acts and rounds, every time we pray. As we heard, "I love you," being spoken to us, so did we repeat to him, "I love you." But in our "I love you," we made the operating life of our divine will flow in his whole being. So every time that God give us more love, he give us the operating life. And this is the big miracle. Many times Jesus said, it's not a miracle to create all the universe. It's the big miracle is to close God in the creature. So in man, as though inside a temple out of ours, we enclosed our will, so that enclosed within the human circle, while remaining in us, it might operate great things. What a sublime lesson of love should run in the whole operating of the creature. The first lesson that he received from our Supreme Being as the requital of his I love you was that while loving him tenderly, replying to him, I love you, he gave him the first lesson in our divine will. And while instructing him, he communicated to him the life of it and infused knowledge of what our divine fiat meant. And each time he said to us, I love you, our love prepared for him others, other lessons more beautiful about our will. So be attentive, and in all things, let love and my divine will be the beginning. So it's so important to meditate this word, so important to call Jesus in all our activity, because if the first part of our act is from God, is from love, we enter more and more deeply in this enormous gift.
Amen. You know, I was also intrigued with the first words of Adam, you know, the author of my life. Now, God is the author of all of our lives, but he loves us so much, think about it, that he gives us editing capability. We can, he has what's destined for us, but we can change that if we want to. But every time we edit what he's written, we're going on the wrong path. We need to stick to the script, as they say in the hood.
And also we can touch, but also we have the risk to be touched by the risk of we can be afraid of, I cannot understand all. I can receive all of this love. It's true. But sure. Every time we go in these ups and downs, God create the void in us. He created the void in us. Because yes, we have to say fiat to the act of purification, but the most important part is the work of God. Sometimes we are called to leave a cross. Oh, wow, how big is this cross? But with all this knowledge, we can accept the cross. We can offer our suffering. In that act, we don't know how much big is the void that he created in us. Right. But we have to believe that is not a wall. The cross is not a wall. The cross is a dynamic to enter, right, to obtain this void.
Right. I had so many thoughts in my mind. I'm completely blank. Hello, Sister Jeff.
Hello, Peter. I would like to add something of what Sister Teresa was saying about calling Jesus in all our acts, and basically in all our activity, and basically it's fusing ourselves with Jesus. And this is a prayer that we should do every morning, or and then during the day to repeat this prayer. Of course, it will be impossible to do to call Jesus literally in every act that we do. But if we say the prayer of fusing ourselves with Jesus every morning, the first things, then we are covered for all day. And I was reading a passage this week, and Jesus was talking to Luisa and saying the importance of fusing, how he loves when we fuse ourselves with Jesus, when we fuse our mind, our acts, everything with him, because doing that, we automatically die, our human will die, and the divine will can come in us. And then he can take over our everything. He can and then he will be him working in us. And I was reading actually this week a book. It's an Italian book about rounds. I'm sure you have plenty in English, beautiful too. But this one, it's I don't even know who wrote it, but it's just passages about rounds. I was reading, I would like to share with you volume 8, February 9, 1908. And Jesus said to Luisa, I want to teach you how you must act with me. First, you must enter into me, transform yourself in me, and take what you find in me. Second, once you have filled yourself completely with me, go out and work in union with me, as if you and I were one single thing, so that if I move, you move. If I think, you think the same thought I am thinking. In short, you do whatever I do. Third, with this act that we have done together, go apart from me for a moment and enter into the midst of all creatures, giving to all and to each one everything we have done together. Give my divine life to each one. Then quickly withdraw into me to give me all the glory that they should give me in their name, praying for them, excusing them, making reparation and loving them. Yes, love me for all. Fill me with love to overflowing. I have no passions, but if I could, I would be this. It would be this and this alone, love. But love in me is more than a passion. It's my life. So as Jesus is saying to Luisa, the first thing that we have to do is first that we have to enter in him. So basically we have to fuse ourselves with him. And when I was reading this, and I'm sure I already heard it from many people, so I'm sure it's probably Jesus say that to Luisa, that we have to be like a drop of water. And then if we go in this, if this drop of water that it's us, it goes in this ocean that's immense, the drop of water, it basically disappear in this water. It becomes one with the ocean. And this is how we have to be. We have to go inside in the ocean, in the sun, take any kind of symbol that it's easier for you, or literally imagine yourself go inside of Jesus in his heart. And then we have to become him. We have to become one thing with Jesus, one thing. And then only when we transform ourselves in him, then we can say that we are completely one with Jesus. But it takes time. It's not something that we do once and that's it. We probably have to do it, not probably, we have to do it more than once, few times. And then after we transform, we become one with Jesus, when you cannot tell who is the person and who is Jesus, then that means we are completely united with Jesus. And then when we do that, then we can go out and give it to other people. But if first we don't have that, how can we give it to other people? We have first to leave it, because as and then this is Sister Scholastica was saying something, praying from the heart. And then you can tell if someone really is praying from the heart, if really possess Jesus inside or not. I mean, you can easily tell, even a child can tell if you are saying a lie or not, if you, whatever you are preaching, if you really live it or not. Then if you really live it, that means you believe it, and then you can automatically tell others, you can transmit it to others. But if you don't live it and you don't believe it, but you just say it with words, then the other person they can react that it's there is a kind of a fake thing. So we really have to transform, to fuse ourselves with Jesus. And then when we are that, we can automatically talk to, give it to other people. And then as Jesus was saying here, and then the third thing we have to do, it's the third with this act that we have done together, go apart from me for a moment and enter into the midst of all creatures, giving to all and to each one everything we have done together. Give my divine life to each one, then quickly withdraw into me to give me all the glory, the glory that they should give me. And then when we are at that point, then we can take all everything that the other people don't give to Jesus, like the glory that everyone should give to Jesus, but for some reason Jesus doesn't receive that, or the or wherever, all the praises, the prayers, and everything. Then we if we live that way, then we have the ability to do that easily. We are part with God, with Jesus. We are one thing. But first, I realize how important it is to be the first point of first is to enter into Jesus and to lost ourselves in there, in Jesus. And then all the rest will come automatically. We don't even have to think. We don't even have to act, do anything, because it will be natural, like breathing. Is we don't think about breathing. And this is the same things when we are together with Jesus.
And you know, Sister Gemma, Jesus says that the difference between doing something out of his will and fused with his will is as great as the difference between heaven and earth, night and day. There's a vast difference. And again, I think it goes back to doing God's will, which those who did not have access to this gift did. They probably did it in a greater capacity than we did. But now that God has raised the bar, he's sort of like St. Louis de Montfort said, it'll be the greatest of all saints at the end of time, not because they're better people, but because they have better use of greater gifts that God has made available at that particular time. So it's really important. Another thing too, when you mentioned about the drop of water going into the ocean or a drop of water into the chalice of wine, like Father Celso says, it's a chemical property that whatever is the strongest, I'm not using technical terms, scientific terms, but whatever is the strongest of the two elements is the one that's going to persevere, and the other one will become absorbed into it. And that's why in the chalice of wine, fusing into God, it's us fusing into God. And who does the Father see? Well, he sees the Son, because the Son is greater than we are. So again, it all makes sense. It's all slightly crypt. It's all veiled. I think someone said that also. And we just need to, code. Who do you use code? I think, was that Sister Teresa or was that Sister Scholastica?
Yes. Yeah.
About the code. It's so important. And, you know, with the code, it's interesting too, because God speaks in code, but yet he gives us truths to decipher the code. And once we decipher the code with truth, then that drives us into the creation of wisdom. And then the wisdom then now is, it puts us into that category of now we're understanding the language of heaven. It's the meaning way beyond the vernacular of what God is using as he lowers himself to speak to us. Sister?
Yes.
I think you're muted, sister.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not able. I don't know correctly the word in English, because I remember the passage in of the Bible in Italian, but Jesus said that he spoke to us through parables, because we are not able to understand all the truth that the words contains, but only with the gift of the Holy Spirit after he went in the heaven, we can understand the words. And still now we have to purify our hearts for understand how much profound is the word of God, how is connected one page of the Bible, of the New Testament, with the Old Testament. It's a mystery. And we realize also, we have the experience that every time we don't eat too much, especially sugar, and this is very difficult. But if we really have,
especially if someone if it's the birthday of someone,
That's what, there's a couple of rumors flying here too that that's the case. And I think that gives you the excuse for perhaps extra gelato, extra chocolate, and things of that nature.
This is our penitence. We have to try. Yeah. But when we have the experience to have less food, but not less food is don't eat. Don't eat because we have to, and don't eat because it's right and just. But less food in prayer, in silence, with an act of love for Jesus. It's an act of desire to overcome our desire to eat. And we realized that reading the Bible and praying and living in silence, there was the presence of God. Yes, we should do, I don't say every day, because it's impossible. We have to do many things because it's our duty also. But if we do more and more with not like a star, not more frequently, and so our soul start to have more desire to go more deeply in the means of the Word of God. And I won't try to connect this meditation about what is the knowledge, what kind of knowledge, what kind of relation we have to have to Jesus, also with some passage from the Bible. And I start with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from 10-13. I don't know how to call the part of the Bible. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses from 10 to 16. 16, no, from 10 to, yes, 16. And St. Paul say, we teach what Scripture calls the things that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, things beyond the mind of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him, not for those who study Him, but for those who love Him. Because in the love, and love is not only, oh, I love you, I love you, but what kind of I love you? I give you, because I love you. To love is to give ourselves. So when Adam was in front of God, he realized that God was present in him. So God given him, he was given himself to Adam. And so Adam saying, I love you, he told God, I give you myself back to you, myself and what you put in myself. So to love is to give ourself. And giving ourself, we can know a person. Well, also, I remember now when Our Lady was called from the archangel, and she say, "I don't know men, but to know is only to have experience, and so to love, to know, to have experience in one sense is one thing." And he continued, "These are the very things that God has revealed to us through the Spirit. This is the true knowledge, for the Spirit reaches the depths of everything, even the depths of God. After all, the depths of a man can only be known by his own spirit, not by any other man. And in the same way, the depths of God can only be known by the Spirit of God." So we have to call the Spirit every time we read, every time we enter in action, every time we start with an act of fusion through the Holy Spirit. Because he pray in us. He is the teacher of the prayer in us. "Now, instead of the spirit of the world, we have received the spirit that comes from God to teach us to understand the gifts that he has given us." And what is the gifts? The gifts of the divine will. Because yes, there is the original sin, but all the acts that Adam did before the fall are suspending in the divine will. We have to enter in that through Jesus, not like a simple desire. "Therefore, we teach not in the way in which philosophy is taught, but in the way that the Spirit teaches us. We teach spiritual things spiritually. And a spiritual person is one who does not accept anything of the Spirit of God. He sees it all as nonsense. It is beyond his understanding because it can only be understood by means of the Spirit. A spiritual man, on the other hand, is able to judge the value of everything, and his own value is not to be judged by other men. As Scripture says, who can know the mind of the Lord, so who can teach him? But we are those who have the mind of Christ." Like Sister Scholastica and Sister Gemma, they were telling, without having the experience of Jesus, and without put Jesus in our mind. We can teach, we cannot teach Jesus to other people. So we have to acquire all the virtues of the, because he is our model. Our first model is Jesus and Our Lady. So living with them totally, profoundly united with Jesus, we can enrich our mind. And having him in our mind, we can know God, because only the Son of God through the Holy Spirit can reveal us who is God. He's the Father. He's the Father who loves us like children. And other passages also from Matthew chapter 11, 27. Try to... yes, Father, for Jesus say, yes, Father, for that is what is pleased to you. Everything has been entrusted to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, just as no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So it's not that we take the Bible in our hands, we read, and we can have the knowledge automatically. Is the first thing is the will of God. He want to reveal his, himself to us. But these two important things, his will and his love. So we have to renounce and to espouse, to give our will to him and to enter in a spiritual life in the mood of love, not the mood of doing something that is more important.
Yeah, and that's the trigger, for lack of a better word. Jesus says, I've got much to give you, but for you to receive it, you must enter into this gift. And that's what's so beautiful. Yeah, he wants us to enter, but he also leaves that door of entering rather easy to do. Remember, he says, I had to make this accessible and easy to all, in all situations and all conditions. I think he tells us in volume 6 that anyone in the state of grace with an ardent desire and an upright intention, all of which are within our realm of possibility, can enter into this gift. So this really is available to everyone. Now, again, when we say enter into the gift, we're not talking about being on the same level of Louisa. That's not important at this time. The time right now is just getting our foot in the door, out of the rain, into the foyer. Let's dry off and let's compose ourselves, and then let's just start to explore them. But he says that, yeah, we have to enter into this to get that. So again, first step is the preventing act in the morning, wanting to get this gift. Was it the four things? We must be in the state of grace. We must ask for this gift. We must have an ardent desire. And we must have an upright intention, all of which are quite easy, I mean, to do, to cooperate with God. The only thing we really have to leave to do would be to go and participate in the act of reconciliation, to have our confession heard. But all of that gets us in the door. And then, again, like you said, sister, those graces then, they sort of overwhelm us. And again, we're going to get more knowledgeable as we go along. I think all of you have been pointing to that. Our Blessed Lady, we found out, I mean, she was given the gift of reason at her conception. And we found that in volume 15, December 8th, 1922. And when she was born, she gave the first thank you, or the first words that she said, thank you to our Lord. And she did it on behalf of all of creation. So that was the first basically huge round made by our Blessed Lady when she first entered the womb, or exited the womb, came into the low world, and did all with the utmost grace. But again, you're right. The knowledge cannot just stay knowledge. The Pharisees were a perfect example of that. The knowledge must be transformed into our heart. It must then equivalent to wisdom. And then that wisdom is going to drive us into proper behavior in that union, in that new dimension that God wants to take us to. Again, we have to work at it, but he really made the work very easy. Sisters? Hello, sisters Elizabeth.
Hi, Peter. Just like what you were saying, I have here the passage. Because you were saying he doesn't God doesn't push. He's really gentle. He's, I mean, the gentlest of all. Yeah. He says, I'm standing on a door and I knock, and whoever opens to me, I will enter and have supper with him, and he with me. And I have just here the passage that says God does not give if the creature does not want to receive. So that's the thing.
you know, like he knocks, but then, you know, we have to open the door and want and desire that he enters and that we enter into him. That's the thing. And so it's just a beautiful passage. I will read it. It's from volume 36, December 18, 1938. So Luisa saying, I'm always in the arms of the divine volition that makes me aware of everything, telling me, I have done everything for you, but I want you to recognize the excesses of my love. So that's the another thing, you know, God wants to be recognized by us, and we can't recognize him if we're just like you were saying, you know, you can really do like read all the possible rounds written, or I don't know, pray all the prayers, but just by kind of you know, just with your mind, not with your heart, like I think Sister Scholastica was mentioning. And then at the first kind of test, let's say, because God gives all graces, like you were saying, he overwhelms with graces. like on a first test where he wants you to give up your own will, and then you're like, no, I want to have it my way. And sometimes we don't recognize this test at the moment, but then later, I think God also gives graces to, oh, okay, that's what I had to do in that situation. But then he gives another one and another one, and then we really have many opportunities to exercise this. So I will continue in the passage. While my mind was wandering around my always adorable Jesus, who always wants to be the first narrator of the fiat and of its works, all goodness told me, my blessed daughter, to make known all that we have done for the creatures is already for us the return for what we have done. But who can we let know? The one who lives in our will, because our will gives the capacity to understand us, the hearing to listen. It transforms the human will so that it wills what we want. We never give if the creature doesn't want to receive and doesn't know what we want to give. So the desire and the knowledge is clearly here. We never give if the creature doesn't want to receive and doesn't know what we want to give. You know, somebody can give you like I don't know, like the most precious pearl on the planet, like to a child, or I don't know, and the child, like, you give it, oh, here's a gift, and the child says, oh, thank you. Like, or, oh, okay, all right. Or even doesn't want it, like, for example.
You can tie that, sister, to the value of knowledge. You know, the more knowledge you have of that stone or whatever that child was receiving, again, not having the reason at the age there, but the knowledge would be able to better make someone who has reason understand the value of it. Again, that's what's so beautiful too about the divine will. I just had to throw that in because it just came to my mind.
Yes, and the layers, more and more layers behind it, like of this gift. And Jesus saying, see then in what painful conditions they leave us by not living in our will. And it just came to my mind now while you were saying that. I mean, look at how it is with the human life. I mean, how many people, they don't value at all human life, like mothers, the human life in their own womb, or, you know, the parents, or, I mean, how many people, the politicians and who not, like the conception of human life is so valuable. And it's like the soul enters in the moment of the conception, and it's just like, I mean, for God, a soul is more than whole creation. It has more value, and, you know, and it is so easy for so many people just to throw it away. They just, you know, think it's like inconvenience. I remember Mother Teresa said, I mean, I don't remember because I didn't hear it alive, but I remember reading it, that as long as people kill their own innocent children in the womb, there will be wars. And what can we do more than what can we do about it more than activism, you know, about, I mean, which is all really good and you know, and valuable, and it has to be, and thank God that there are people who, you know, who really fight on the first lines for the unborn and for the peace, you know, for the for the wars to stop and all these things. But what we that know about the divine will, what we can do, you know, that's like, I mean, we cannot even imagine how valuable it is, but we can really be warriors, you know, against these things. And actually the church militant that all of us alive here on earth right now, Catholics, you know, we have an infinite weapon, which is divine will in this time. And that is why Satan is so enraged and you know, and scared because of that, because, you know, each act in divine will has infinite power. And all the victims of abuse and violence, we can really help them by doing acts and rounds, especially hours of the Passion, because Jesus died for like a special kind of death for each one of them, for the victims and for the abusers. Like he has gone like all this, you know, exteriorly, but interiorly, especially. And we can enter into that with him, and you know, and offer it up to God. We can be his angel of consolation, and then he's also like sending us this this chalice, which is connected with this passage that I have. It's like we can imagine this. I was just reading this recently. We can imagine like a chalice that he's sending us, where we can put all our like tribulations or sufferings. Like for example, let's say you are suffering something interiorly, nobody knows about it. I mean, mostly like us here, you know, that are listening this, it's not like we suffer hunger or I don't know, or cold, or I mean, yeah, of course some people may be suffering some serious illnesses, but it's not the suffering like you know, of corporal things, like except maybe some illness, but it's mostly emotional or interior like spiritual suffering. And this is all very valuable, and we can like put it in a chalice of a divine will. It's like, imagine that Jesus is sending us this suffering so that he can convert it in the divine will into the sweet sweetness and nectar to console him, to be his angel of consolation. And the key to that is being open to it, being open to receive it, like whatever he sends us, like maybe for example you are mother with a husband and children and like reading divine will, but the others in your family are not, and it's I don't know, they are not going to church, they are like living in sin or something, and like to offer all of that, and maybe even sometimes to renounce your own will, like maybe not being always so pushy or something like that. Maybe that is what Jesus is sending you in that moment.
But, you know, Sister, Jesus is a good businessman, too. I remember him throwing out a barter to us. He says, you know, you do what I want, I'll do what you want. So he knows what our intentions are. He knows what our affections are, our loves for. In fact, even in, I think it's in volume 18, he says, for those journeying in the divine will, he'll protect those people and the places in which those people reside, which, if we think about it, are usually where our family is. So, again, I think all will be well. We can do it. Again, he's asking us to step in the breach. That's part of that martyrdom, too. We have to work extra hard for this. And you know, if you really think about it, the work is really not hard. God has done all the hard work. Our Lady's done all the hard work. Luis has done all the hard work. We're just basically riding on their coattails. So it really is. God's made it, again, as he said, easy and accessible. in all situations, in all circumstances, in all places. We have no excuse. Sister?
Yeah, I mean, thank God that Jesus has, God has made it so, I mean, easy and accessible for each one of us. And really, God bless those saints in the past that did so much, you know, penance and so many hard things. I don't know, that seems like incredible, but you can take in the divine will, you can even, you know, take all the penances from the saints in the past and, you know, offer it up in a divine will and offer a divine version of their lives, because, you know, none of those saints were actually living in the divine will with the gift. But you know, if you admire some saint or something like that, how was he able to do that? Like all the grace that he received or she, and just remember to also offer a divine version of their lives in the divine will, or maybe, you know, some saints, or like Sister Teresa mentioned, she was mentioning something about Immaculate Conception, like how Our Lady is Immaculate Conception. And I remember Saint Maximilian Kolbe, I was reading recently that it was his breakthrough, like his thought that kind of, like, I don't want now to say something wrong, but he wrote something like Our Lady's kind of like a perfect, if Holy Spirit is uncreated Immaculate Conception, then Our Lady is created Immaculate Conception. So in a way, you know, Our Lady would be perfect image, like perfect mirroring of the Holy Spirit in body. And like
Sister, perfect. Even I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sister, but you know, even in the writings, Jesus says how Our Lady how is it saying? He said, what I am in nature, she is in grace, which is the same that you're saying, that Maximilian Kolbe said that the Holy Spirit is the uncreated Immaculate Conception, and Our Lady is the created Immaculate Conception, correct? Is that what it
yes, think it was yes, saying? Yes, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Also, I'll stick in two cents. Also, our church has it in our catechism, Article 507, which states, I'll paraphrase, that Mary is the most perfect example, is the most perfect model of our church. So again, that pretty much spells it out. We have everything. God's given us all the opportunity to corroborate everything that he said. He's given us 2,000 years of history. He actually says that in volume 16, everything that I've done, the church, the sacraments, the saints, everything has been given. And he has had as his primary purpose to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose. So again, we're exactly where God wants us, all of us.
You serve my meditation on a silver plate.
Good. I wish it was gold next time.
Yeah. Gold and the divine.
And then we go to platinum. Okay.
Yeah, because there is another passage, but I don't start from the passage because I want to connect directly with the what you were saying before. The volume is 33, February 4, 1934. But I start from the document of Vatican Council II, the Lumen Gentium, is the foremost chapter 8, is dedicated to the devotion of Our Lady, the function of the Blessed Virgin in the plan of salvation. Wow, it's so big. But the point 65, the church say, but it's so important to read this part. It's something that we already know, but if we read very slow in prayer with the Bible, but it's also with the Book of Heaven, it helps you to chew the truth about the Book of Heaven. But while in the Most Blessed Virgin, the Church has already reached that perfection whereby she exists without spot or wrinkle, we know she's immaculate, she's the big model, the faithful still strive to conquer sin and increase in holiness. What we were saying before, she overcome the test. She win at the test. We have to win. Every day we have a test of patience. And so they turn their eyes to Mary, who shines forth to the whole community of the elect, as the model of virtues, devoutly meditating on her and contemplating her in the light of the Word made man. The church reverently penetrates more deeply into the great mystery of the incarnation and becomes more and more like her spouse. She is our model. And reading that this passage, I was thinking, so in one sense also Adam was the Immaculate. he was totally living in the divine will. So we have only to come back to the point of the original point. Having entered and deeply into the history of salvation, Mary, in a way, unites in her person and re-echoes the most important doctrines of the faith. And when she is the subject of preaching and worship, she prompts the faithful to come to her Son, to his sacrifice, and to the love of the Father. Every time we go to Mass, we receive the bomba of the grace if we live in faith. Seeking after, because also during the preaching of the priest, this is the Holy Spirit that touch our hearts and change our mind, and we predispose ourselves to make a decision. For example, today the priest in our church is say, okay, what is Advent? What we have to do during this time? We have to prepare ourselves not only at the feast in a human way, but we have to prepare our soul, but we have to have a specific proposal. What is my limit? What is my proposal? Not 10, not 20, one. But we have to start with one, because it's important the will in front of God, not the activity. Seeking after the glory of Christ, the church becomes more like her lofty type and continually progresses in faith, hope, and charity, seeking and doing the will of God in all things. In all things, not only in a spiritual life, in all our life. The church, therefore, in her apostolic work too, rightly looks to her who gave birth to Christ, who was thus conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin, in order that through the church he could be born and increase in the hearts of the faithful. In her life, the Virgin has been a model of that motherly love with which all who join in the Church's apostolic mission for the regeneration of mankind should be animated. So we have to acquire the spirit of Mary. And the spirit of Mary is in the Magnificat. We read the Magnificat, we chant the Magnificat every day at Vespers. But this is a calling not only for the religion person, but also for the right people. Because since the Vatican II, the prayer of the church is the prayer of the all the church, specifically for the religions, but also the lay person can read, meditate, pray, chant in the heart the Magnificat to meditate. And also, it's so important that point 73, through her faith and obedience, she gave birth on earth to the very Son of the Father, not through the knowledge of men, but the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit, she reached her. But this is in one way, we have to imitate her. But she didn't give birth to Jesus. I don't know what word I can use, but I can come back to the word that I read now, faith and obedience. So it's something that we can do too. We have to grow in faith every day, and we have to be obedient of what is the state of our life, different kind of obedience. There's another passage, but now I don't see it.
While you're looking for that, sister, you know, again, in that language of heaven, we've talked about this too. Jesus explains, he says in volume 2, faith is God. So faith, if we think God, about, yes, if we think about faith and obedience, okay, so faith is God, then obedience to God. That should come naturally. If we, the more we know of God, the more we're going to love God. The more we love God, the more we're going to want to serve God. And now we know that all three of those that are in our Baltimore Catechism, all those that can be explicated to, how do we do all three of those? Well, we agree to give our fiat and possess God. That's how we love, know, and serve him in the best capacity we can. He told us that, and that's not us saying that.
Yeah, but also when you read the gospel, what Jesus said many times, you, I don't know if it's the correct translation, you are saved by your faith. Because, yes, many times he tried to make miracles, but he didn't because of the loss, the lack of faith in persons. And many persons receive the healings because they were looking for in faith for Jesus, only with the touch of one single hand. At one point it was, who touched me? We are in the middle of many peoples. You ask us, who touched you? Only one touch bring outside of him the energy that give healing to the lady. But also the faith of our person, like the was the man who was bringing on the sulla l'uomo che stava sulla barella. Come si può chiamare la barella? The stretches. I don't know. Is the man, the paralytic?
Yeah, through the roof.
Yeah, the paralytic. Yeah, he was healed by the faith of his relatives. Right. Right. So it's not only necessary that the person direct involved. Faith is the void. Faith is I trust in God. Faith is I don't trust in myself. I trust in God. I believe that he can everything. And also, what is the biggest sin that he revealed to Sister Faustina? To not be faith of my mercy. Is not to kill a person or to make other things. We know that there are abyss of kind of sin that we know, but in a human way, they are sin. But what is sin in front of God? God is all. God is everything, is everywhere. So the biggest thing is not, you are not able to do. This is not true. This is the biggest sin. Right. Because of the lack of faith, we action in a bad way with killing a person, with the abortion, and with the drugs, and with all the things that we know that we are nauseated by all this sin. But the roots is lack of faith.
Right, and the world attempts to water all this down. Sister Benedicta,
yes.
Yes, we can do all our little, we can do our part with our acts and rounds in the divine will. And with our little, you know, when I'm hearing the sisters talk about, you know, this, all these beautiful things about, you know, the rounds and love and all of this. And I was thinking to myself, well, how does that look to me on a day-to-day basis, you know? And me and Sister Scholastica were talking about this recently. And we were, you know, it's the times when, you know, you're not feeling 100%, when you're not your best, and things aren't going the way you had planned them to go. But in those times, you know, that's those difficult times is where you give your fiat and where you choose to love instead of choosing to be impatient or to be uncharitable, you know, with your body language or, you know, we're all human. We all have our weaknesses and our idiosyncrasies. We have our limitations, but loving each other in those limitations, loving each other in our miseries, you know, and that's really a beautiful thing to be able to love someone right there at their weakest, you know, because that's what the Lord does for us. I just wanted to share this meditation because Peter, at the beginning, you were talking about the power of words, and Louisa in volume 24, July 4th, 1928, she was asking the Lord, well, what's the point of, of asking for the kingdom of the divine will. You know, why do we have to ask for it over and over again? And Jesus tells her, he said, "My daughter, when one wants to make a purchase, one pays advances. And the more advances are given, the more the purchase is secure. And the less remains to be paid when one comes to the final acts of the definitive purchase. So he goes on into this, how, you know, things have to be, you know, you're putting in a little, like you're paying for it, you know. And he said he did this in redemption also. So you kind of give like your little down payment, you know, or you know how like a, I'm not sure. I remember when I was younger, what was it? When you want to buy something at the store and then it's a rain check or something. I don't remember exactly where you go and you pay a little bit at a time. Like every 2 weeks you get paid, you put in a little bit of money.
In the end of the six happiness.
No, well, it's like when you purchase something, like, you know, it's
like a little bit.
Yeah. For that ticket. That's
paying
right.
For the ticket. She would go every week. She would get the payment.
Yes.
And then she would do it. And it took her a while. And finally she got the ticket. Yes.
Well, like a layaway type of thing.
Yeah. Like a layaway. That's it.
Okay.
Sorry. I've been way.
I haven't been in a mall in 25 years.
Well, yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I had to get the cobwebs off that.
He's explaining this to her and he says, okay. And since it is the purchase of it that you want to make, it is necessary that your acts be done in it, that they acquire the value of the currency coined by my divine will. Otherwise it would not be a valid currency. And what could circulate for the purchase of, and what could circulate for the purchase of it? It would be a currency from outside the kingdom. In fact, one who wants to purchase the divine will must give acts of advance done in it. And my will benignly deigns to coin them with the value of its fiat in such a way that the soul can give necessary advances for the purchase of it. This, then he explains all of this, that he did this also for the kingdom of redemption. I won't read into it. I'll just kind of explain because it's a little long. And so that's what he did in redemption. And so he ended up making the whole payment. He signed it by the divinity that the kingdom was his, you know, and he did it for each and every one of us. And then he says, after this, I was saying to Jesus, in your will, I take the whole creation in my arms, the heavens, the sun, the stars, and everything, to bring them before the Supreme Majesty as the most beautiful adoration and prayer to ask it for the kingdom of the fiat. But while I was doing this, I thought of myself, how can I embrace everything if my littleness is such that I could embrace not even one star? What about everything? So these things are not feasible. And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, one who possesses my divine will can take everything. My will has the virtue of rendering anything light. It renders heavens, stars, suns, the whole creation, angels, saints, the Virgin Queen, and God himself light as a feather. In fact, since my divine will flows as prime life in everything, one is the life, one is the weight. So whatever the weight of all things together, such is the weight of each one of them. Therefore, only one who possesses my fiat can take everything and give me everything, because having the virtue of extending heavens, of forming stars, etc., wherever it is present, it has the virtue of taking everything and of embracing everything. This indeed is the great prodigy of living in my will. The littleness can carry and embrace immensity. Weakness can carry strength. The nothing can possess the all. The creature, the creator. That's amazing. Only God can do this. And then he goes on. Wherever there is the life of my divine will, there are all prodigies united together. The infinite, the eternal, lets himself be carried as though in triumph in the little arms of she who lives in it, because in her they look, not at her, but at the divine will that has the right over everything, can do anything, and embraces everything. And so she can give everything to her creator as her own. In fact, was it perhaps not my fiat that extended the heavens and populated them with stars? If it had the virtue of making them, it also has the virtue of embracing them and of letting them be carried in triumph like a light feather by the cre- by the creature who lives in its divine will. Therefore, continue your flight in it, and you will do everything to give me everything and to ask me for everything. So, you know, this passage really encourages me because we, you know, in our littleness, in our nothingness, I mean, that's where the Lord wants us, because we really, it's a reality. You know, we can't do this, only the Lord, but he's so good that he allows us to be able to do this, to call the divine will. And like you were saying, Peter, you know, with our desire, with our intention, you know, being in a state of grace, and he gives us, you know, the sacraments. If we fall out of grace, we go there. You know, we have the Holy Mass where we can receive him and be fed with him. You know, and so he's giving us everything. It's really simple, but you know, we tend to make it hard for ourselves, you know. And even when you read all these things, you can think, wow, okay, I have to be in the divine will. I've got to do, you know, because it is, it is big, you know, but it is so simple just to enter into it. And just, it's just the little things. It's the little movements of your hearts. It's your intentions. It's your little, I love yous to Jesus and appreciating everything that he gives you, you know? So anyway, that was my meditation. Did you have anything to add?
Yeah, no formulas. You're right. But God just gives us some simple guidelines. Yeah. You know? Like he gives us the Ten Commandments to get us prepared for the divine will. And I know today we heard at Mass, you know, about Jesus first coming 2000 years ago, and he'll come again down the road, you know, later when he comes in full grace. And but again, not mentioning about that intermediate coming. That's exactly where we're living right now. And we cannot miss this. I mean, you ever heard the phrase, miss the boat? We cannot miss the boat, because this is the Queen Mary. It's right there. And Jesus saying, all aboard. You know, we have to be obedient. We just read about that, the obedience. Anyone have any closing thoughts? No? Okay.
Well, actually, yes, there was something that I was thinking of when we were talking about, I think today's, you were mentioning about the cross. And that brought to mind a passage that I read today that talks about suffering. So I figured, well, you know, those go hand in hand, the cross and suffering. So I guess it'll be relatable. Right. So this is volume 16, February 16th, 1924. So I'm going to jump to the third paragraph. And this is Jesus speaking to Louisa. So Jesus says, but who shares more in these immense treasures of my heart? For those who suffer more, for each pain, for each sorrow, there a special joy in my heart, which follows that pain or sorrow suffered by the creature. Pain renders her more dignified, more lovable, more dear, more worthy of sympathy. And since my heart drew upon itself all divine sympathies by virtue of the pain suffered, in seeing pain in the creature, which is a special characteristic of my heart, watching over this pain with all my love, I pour upon her the joys and contentments which my heart contains. But to my highest sorrow, while my heart would want to let my joys follow the pain I send to the creatures, not finding in them the love of suffering and the true resignation which my heart possessed, my joys still follow pain. But in seeing that the pain has not been received with love and honor and with highest submission, my joys do not find the way to enter that sorrowful heart, and grieving they return to my heart. Therefore, when I find a soul who is resigned, who loves suffering, I feel her as though regenerated within my heart. And oh, how sorrows and joys, bitterness and sweetness alternate. I hold nothing back of all the goods which I can pour upon her. So I like the part here that, I mean, let's face it. I mean, obviously, yes, there are some things, like when you look at certain sufferings, there's nothing like beautiful about it. And sometimes it can be brutal. It can be excruciating to watch or listen to someone suffer. But on the other hand, though, there is truth in what Jesus says about renders her more dignified, more lovable, more dear, more worthy of sympathy. It's very true. I mean, I'm sure all of us, we've had, you know, we've experienced in somewhat, whether in our personal lives or we read in a book or we watched in a movie or TV show, you can see how many times through suffering, it really changes a person
for the better. I mean, and that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, they weren't that great before. No, even good people, like wonderful people, but then once they receive a cross and they're suffering, many times it truly does transform them to be an even better person. There's something more beautiful about them. Like you can't help but like see it, like, you know, you're with them and you're like, wow, like, you know, you're touched with this person or you're moved. Well, it's because we don't realize it, but in a way, even more, I mean, obviously Jesus is inside everyone, but in a way, in that moment, it's like, that's Jesus there, because Jesus is truly present now through the cross, through the suffering. Like I can, and then what, many times you see it, that's a way for us. I know in my personal experience that whenever I'm suffering something, and if it's something that I can relate to what, you know, Jesus experienced, like there was something in my past that I remembered that was part of the hours of the passion. So when I was, you know, struggling with this thing, my mom would just say to me to help comfort me, well, think about it this way. He's giving you something that he experienced. He's sharing something with you that he experienced. So think of that more like as a gift, like it's an honor in a sense that he's willing to want you to experience what he experienced and to take part in that suffering. And so it was true. There were some moments it was more difficult, but then other moments, no. When I tried to remember that and I realized, you know, the Lord is giving me a gift, you know, and I, you know, so I would use opportunity to thank the Lord, you know, but then sometimes I will be honest and some will just tell him, well, this stinks, but okay. Like, I'm trying to see the gift in here, Lord. I'm trying to see the good in here and what you're trying to do. And because that's the thing. I mean, that funny story with St. Teresa of Avila, that Jesus, she was suffering or something bad happened to her. And then she was like, oh Lord, well, why'd you do this? Or something like that. And the Lord said, well, this is how I treat all of my friends. Like he was trying to, again, like realize that, no, when I give you guys a cross, it's not bad. I'm giving you a gift. It's a gift. It's good. Right. So, and then she said to him, well, no wonder you have so few friends. It's like, because it's very true. When we look with the lenses of the world, I mean, you know, we're just not there yet. We're not 100% there yet. But when we, yes, so like, again, like, yes, you know, oh, suffering, you know, it's bad or this or that, but no. We need to look with the lenses of faith. We need to look with the lenses of Christianity, but especially through the divine will. And we realize, no. This is a good thing. God in his infinite goodness and mercy, like a true loving father who knows best what's for his children. No. He knows what he's doing. He would never give us anything that we can't handle. So that's right. The thing. If we look on the lenses of that, you know, it will help us better, I think. I mean, at least me, this is something I'm still working on. But I know for me personally, whenever I do remember in these moments, I try to realize, okay, no, this is a gift from the Lord. He's showing that he loves me. And I just need to hold on to that and accept and say my fiat and that it's okay. This is good what's happening here.
And just one last thought is another good thing that the Lord has given us is today is actually Sister Teresa's birthday. Mm. And we had celebrated her birthday today.
Yeah.
so we did have cake earlier.
Yeah, we did have cake.
And so a good lunch.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Well, you know what I think we should do? Let's just properly end the cynical and then let's do something a bit fun. So I'd like to end with a line from the Magnificat, if we can do it in prayer, in the name of the Father and of the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. End quote. We can all say that. Thanks be to God. And, you know, we thank God also for the wisdom of all you sisters well beyond your years. I can assure you. Well, let's do this. Sister Elizabeth, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, after you, Peter, I think I wanted to sing something, right?
Yeah, I want to sing something. Unless you want to do it a cappella, you want to do it by yourself?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to sing.
She wanted to sing Happy Birthday in Croatian all by herself. That's what she wanted to
do. Yeah. And we go, we can hum in the background perfectly. Okay, let's all sing to her in our native languages. It's going to sound a little messy, but we understand what it is. And then we'll let Sister Elizabeth sing all by herself, okay? So let's sing right now I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves if they'd like to. Don't go anywhere, Sister Elizabeth. We're going to put you on the spot. Okay, so everyone can unmute themselves. And, well, let's start with the with the worst singer in the group. That's me. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Yay! Wonderful, wonderful. So
nice for my 25th birthday.
No, I've got 24 written down. Are you sure? I think you've miscalculated. But not to let her off the hook. Okay, Sister Elizabeth, happy birthday in your native tongue, please.
No, are you serious?
Well, if you're willing, I'm serious.
Okay,
if you're not willing, do we look like we're joking?
You'll do later in Filipino, okay?
Oh, I don't know it.
In Spanish. In Spanish. At least in Italian. Italian.
Not Croatian.
Okay. Yeah, no.
She likes Croatian. Sreta rođendanti, sreta rođendanti, sreta rođendan Teresa. Sreta rođendanti. Okay.
Wow, that was very good. Wow, I think there's a little bit of a gem there.
Too much.
Sister, we really, this is a beautiful day. It's like, yeah, we know in volume 16, Jesus says that every day is Christmas when in the divine will, every day is Thanksgiving while journeying the divine will, and every day is as if it's our birthday because we're born again each and every day, each and every moment. So thanks be to God for all this.
And also we can say every day has its pain.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wait till you get to my age. You don't know what pain is.
Yeah.
You find it hits you from all different directions. But you know what? God's going to keep us all young. Thanks be to God. Okay, so we're going to do the unmute again. Everyone can unmute themselves if they're not already unmuted and say goodbye to the sisters.
Bye, sisters. Bye.
Bye, sisters.
Bye, sisters. Thank you.
Love you, family.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. My suggestion is everybody keep their day jobs, please. Thanks be to God.
It came from the heart.
It's all in the intention. Absolutely. Otherwise, we'd all be in trouble. Love you, sis. Love everyone. God bless everyone.
Bye. Bye.